Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, church family. How's everybody doing this morning? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Listen, I gotta tell you, I love hearing Nathan Burns on the piano this morning. I joked this morning that he keeps playing. I feel like I said, now welcome to smooth classical music featuring Nathan Burns. But listen, we are so glad to have you here this morning. Why don't we stand together as we sing this great song of praise, Joy to the World. Sing this out, church.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the same.
Christmas. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this beautiful day we have to celebrate the Savior's birth. This beautiful morning we have to gather with friends, to gather with family, to gather with our faith family and lift up praise to who you are and the miraculous way you brought new life to us. We have so much to be thankful for. So we come with an attitude of gratitude. We come with grateful hearts to lift up your name and who you are. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. It is great to have you on this Christmas morning. We are honored that you have come to worship with us today. If you were a part of one of our carols, candles, and communion services, we had three of those. We had something special that I believe is going to become a yearly tradition now. We had an impromptu special offering that those funds each night were used, each of those services, to bless a local family just to provide some hope and to let them know that God loves them and that we care about them too. So the first impromptu offering was $1,300 and the second one was $12 and last night was $2,000. So $4,500 this week just to three families to be a blessing. So I want to say thank you for participating. Several of you have asked how that offering went. So thank you. Families were encouraged, were blessed, and honestly, some lives were transformed through that. So thank you for what you did. We're thankful for your part in that. Today, as we worship together, sing these songs with us and enjoy. If you're participating at home online, you might be in the middle of just wrapping paper shrapnel all around you. I don't know, but you just sing with us. Stand up and praise the Lord as we sing these songs of the faith together. I wake up every morning, this may be a surprise to some, but not to most, almost every morning with a different song running through my mind. I love music and love to sing. And this morning, the song that I woke up to was one that Lily and I had talked about last night. And I want to sing it with you. Let's sing it together. The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where on a cold winter's night that was so
am.
Ah, you sound great. It makes me want to sing a little more a cappella. Let's just do, how about this? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Lift it up loud together. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I tell you, since it's Christmas morning, let's sing what is also a beautiful Christmas song. You probably never thought of it that way, but Christmas brought grace to us. Let's sing Amazing Grace. Don, you're going to have to find the key. Go for it. Amazing Grace. Let's do one verse a cappella.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
In heaven, who else does? Raise your hand. Listen, they're gathered around the throne room singing and praising him. So let's stand together that last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, what they're experiencing, we too can lift up to the Lord. Let's sing it. Let's take it up half a step even. Here we go.
Half a step. When
we've lift it up.
Been there 10,000 years, bright shine.
Unrelated note, choir rehearsal starts back January 4th at 6 p.m. Okay, good. Let's keep standing as we sing Angels We Have Heard on High this morning. Let's sing that together.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains. Chelsea's
are so, so thankful, God. And I love that line, be near us, Lord Jesus. Ask thee to stay, God, during this time of season, this time of year, God, as we celebrate your son's birth, Jesus Christ, we humbly ask for him to be near us closer, longer, to stay, Father. Thank you, God, for allowing us to have this moment of worship. Bless us now as we continue. In your name, we do pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Oh,
Amen. If you guys will do that again, I think you'll get it next time. That was awesome. What a blessing. Thank you so much. Oh, Holy Night. That song has been sung by trios, by soloists, by choirs, by congregations for 160 years. It is safe to say it is one of the most beloved Christmas carols of all time. But you may not know the story behind the song, so I'll share it with you quickly this morning. The song was originally written in French. It was actually banned by the French church for over 20 years. It was used as a call to arms in the American Civil War, and it made history as being the first radio broadcast ever to use a human voice. Now, that's a lot of information about that one song, but in the 1840s, a French priest asked a local winemaker, sorry to all of us Baptists, but he asked a local winemaker and poet named Placide Capot to write a poem for Christmas Mass. And so Capot composed the French poem. It's the version of O Holy Night that we know. So he asked a well-known classical musician named Adolph Adams to compose the musical score for it. So in 3 weeks' time, they came up with O Holy Night, and it was performed at Christmas Eve at midnight in a small French village. Now, a number of years later, the church leaders in France discovered that Capot had left the church to join the socialist movement. And they also discovered that Adolph Adams, who wrote the music for it, was Jewish, and he composed this to celebrate the Messiah he did not even follow. So when they learned these facts, they said, we can't sing this song ever again, and they banned it as unfit for church services. But it was too late. O Holy Night had already become one of the most beloved Christmas songs in all of France, and it was growing in popularity other places as well. Then, on Christmas Eve in 1906, Reginald Fessenden spoke into a microphone for the very first time in history, and a man's voice was broadcast across the airwaves. Up till that point, it had just been Morse code. So he came up with the idea and broadcast his voice for the very first time, and here's what he did. He stops, he takes out his Bible, and he reads Luke chapter 2. It says this. This is what the first words broadcast across the airwaves ever. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And an angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace among those whom with he is pleased." So he quotes these words, he reads these words over the airwaves for the first time. Then he takes out his violin and he plays a verse of O Holy Night. And on the last verse, he sings those words we just heard. "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. And chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy, in grateful chorus ways we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever, his power and his glory evermore proclaim." What a beautiful history of this song. But there's more even. Believe it or not, during the American Civil War, there was an abolitionist named John Sullivan Dwight. he came across this French poem and he translated it into English in what we know as O Holy Night. And it was put in a magazine that he was publishing at the time, really trying to abolish slavery. Dwight believed that the last lyrics of that final stanza spoke to the issue of his day. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Listen, thousands and thousands of Americans believed that slavery was against the teachings of Jesus. And by the way, it was, and it still is. And understand that that was taught and sung at that time and brought forth. So we think about this song and the rich history. We've sung it at Christmas, but there's so much more it has been used for over the years. So what can we learn very quickly from these words and that scripture this morning? Three things, and I'm going to move fast. By the way, if you've got a child in the room, I know we don't have a nursery today. We wanted to give all of our workers and volunteers an opportunity to worship together. I want you to hear me say something and make sure you hear me well. And that is this. If your child is a little fussy in here or a little loud, it's okay. We've got adults that get fussy and loud in here from time to time. Don't you worry a bit, all right? If your child falls asleep, it's okay. We've got adults who fall asleep in here regularly every Sunday. So you're fine, okay? Don't feel like you have to leave. But if something begins to bother you, there is a family room right outside the door where you can watch from in there. But I invite you just to stay right here as a family. Don't think twice about it together. So three things really quickly if you're writing things down. Number one, God is sovereign and he can use anyone to tell his story and bring him glory. In the Bible, he used Jews, he used Gentiles, he used pagans, and he used priests. He used the rich, he used the poor, he used royal, and he used outcasts. In the Bible, he used adulterers, he used murderers, he used tax collectors, he used lepers, he used all the errs, okay? Any err in the Bible, he used them. In Luke chapter 2, God used shepherds. They were one of the lowest class of people in biblical times, but we just read in Luke chapter 2 where he spoke to them first. He announced the Messiah to them first. God has made a habit of calling the unqualified for his kingdom's purpose. And I want you to know that that has reached 2,000 years to you and to me because we are unqualified because of our sin, but he called us. Aren't you thankful he called you today? He did. Someone wrote a little saying about this years ago that has become popular, and popular sayings are often seem to be trite, but this one is so true. It says this, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Amen? Listen, that's what he does for us. Maybe you heard this reading before. I wanted to share it with you. Some that were unqualified, but God chose for his service. Here it is. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob, a liar. Leah was not known to be very pretty. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. And I bet he even had a tattoo. That's a different story. Okay. Rahab was a prostitute. I'm just kidding. Jeremiah and Timothy were way too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. Peter denied Jesus. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman had been married and divorced multiple times. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious, Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. Friends, God can use you. I don't know who wrote that, but it's brilliant. God can use you and God can use me. He is still calling the unqualified. He is still preparing and using us for his grace and his service. That is good news for you and for me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, listen to Paul describe how his weakness was used for God's glory. He says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Friends, the story of O Holy Night Luke chapter 2, Paul's words here, and all of those incredible men and women through the ages of the Bible tell the same story, and that is this: God can use anyone to tell his story and bring him glory, and that includes you. That includes me. The second thing I will say today very quickly is a call to worship is always a call to action. Don't miss this. Luke chapter 2, keep going, verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Don't miss that. The shepherds encountered Jesus, and then they went and did something about it. They made known what they found. They told others about the Messiah. Reginald Fessenden encountered God, and then he did something about it. He spoke into a microwave on radio airwaves for the first time, a microphone on radio airwaves for the first time, and he told others about Jesus. They did something about it. So on this Christmas day, how many of us in this room have encountered the Messiah? If you have Jesus in your life, if you've encountered him throughout your lifetime, here's my phrase for you today. It's not over spiritual, but this is the lesson. Do something about it. Do something about it. Tell others about him. That is what he deserves, and that's the greatest gift we could give him today. If we have Jesus, do something about it. And then third and final is this: God is still defeating oppression, and he is still setting men free. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Galatians chapter 5 says this: "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Who submits to the yoke of slavery? We all have from time to time. We all will from time to time. But he says, Christ came to set us free. Now you skip on 12 or 13 verses and go down to verse 13. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for your flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love the Lord your God," or "you shall love your neighbor," excuse me, "as yourself." So here's what I would say. We have been set free from a life of legalism. We have been set free from oppression. We have been called to freedom. Freedom to follow hard after Jesus Christ. Freedom to walk in his grace and truth. Freedom to live in the power and by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 8:36 says, "If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed." Somebody say amen. Amen. We are free indeed. So claim that freedom today. So our Christmas morning takeaways are simple. It's three things. God can and will use you to tell his story. You may be feeling like there's no way God can use you because of something you've done in your past, something you did last week, how you feel about an addiction that's taken place in your life, a situation, a circumstance. I don't know. But what I would say to you is there is a long list of people that prove the point that God can and will use everyone he chooses, and he chooses you. So God can and will use you. Second, a call to worship is a call to action. So do something about it. Do something about it. And then lastly, Jesus came to set you free and to set me free. I promised a short message today. That's it. Luke chapter 2, Galatians chapter 5, John. We read those scriptures and we're reminded of what Jesus has come to do for you and for me. And of all the gifts you'll unwrap today, or all the gifts you will give today, the greatest gift you can receive is the gift of God's grace at work in your life. And the greatest gift you can give is to do something about it. To live our lives in a way that gives glory to God. To not let the gift stop with just what you're receiving, but let it be passed on to others as we live through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we have so much to celebrate today. If the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. So if you've been walking in addiction, I'm not claiming that for you that it's going to be easy, but I will tell you this, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God can bring restoration, that he will, but it won't. It will come. It can come miraculously, but it will also come with a plan. He will want you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, step by step, day by day, new grace upon new grace, new mercy upon new mercy. Maybe for you it's not that. Maybe it's just you've been defeated. You've had a failure in life recently with a job, with a family member, with some circumstance. I don't know. But I want to encourage you to understand that the end of the story is not written yet. God doesn't see you for what you did yesterday, for what you did a year ago, for what you did a lifetime ago. What God sees is who He's making you to be. And the Son, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us so that we might be transformed and made new in Him. So listen, friends, that's what God sees in you. Grab a hold of that today and seek to live out that freedom. And then lastly, that we all might leave this place with gratitude in our hearts because of what Jesus has done for us, with gratitude in our lives with what He continues to do, and with gratitude in our lives because the Holy Spirit is at work in us. So before we have an invitation, we're going to have a traditional invitation this morning. That's where we invite people to respond. You can come and pray here at these steps. There is nothing holy about these steps. They're just steps. You can pray at your seat, but we come and we bend the knee and make an altar here, honestly, as a way to let God know we mean business. It's as a way to come and allow others to pray for us. It's really a cue for our faith family to love on one another and to care for one another. Maybe you come today needing prayer. We will pray for you. Maybe you have an addiction you need to be set free from. Maybe you've been set free, but you want to walk completely free this year. Maybe for you, you've got some other struggle, or you're praying for a family member that's absent from your home today because of some situation or circumstance, and you want to pray for them and their salvation. We'll pray with you. We'll be glad to pray with you. Maybe for you, though, God's calling you to give your life to Him. We have sung about Jesus and what He's done for us all service long. So maybe now you come and say, I need Jesus in my life. I'd love to share with you how you can have His free gift of salvation. Corrie ten Boom said it best. I quoted it a few weeks ago, and that is this. If you sing that Jesus is born in Bethlehem 1,000 times over, but He has not been born in your heart, you have missed the point. I just butchered her quote, but that's what it means. That's the idea. We can sing that He's born in Bethlehem over and over, but He's got to be born in you. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, come, let me share with you how you can do that. Maybe for you, though, God's calling you to come and officially be a part of our church. You want to unite with our faith family. Here's what I can promise you. If you'll look at the posters out in the hall, you'll see ones that show all the different families that have either seen someone baptized or have joined our church in the last 12 months since the beginning of 2022. It's a lot of families. It's a blessing. It's great to look at. Stop and do so. And here's what I know. At the beginning of the year, we didn't know any of those were coming, but God did. And here's what I would say is coming for next week, January 1st, and the year to come. We don't know who is yet to come, but the Lord does. Someone will give their life to Him. Someone will come and be a part of our faith family. Together, our army will grow that we can impact our community and the nation and the kingdom of God. So if God's calling you to come, you come. Whatever the case, I can think of no better day to join the church, Cale, than Christmas Day. What a birthday gift to Jesus. Come on. But in all seriousness, you respond as God directs. Would you do what He tells you to do this morning? Pray with me. With your heads bowed for just a moment. If you're here and you need prayer, we will pray for you. If you come, we'll pray. I promise. We'll pray. If you want to pray for someone else in your family, come. We'll pray with you. We don't have to know the circumstance. Maybe for you, though, that God's calling you to unite with our faith family, you come, that'll be great. Maybe for you, you want to give your life to Jesus. There's nothing more important that will happen in this room today than you saying, I need Jesus in my life. May we help you with that. Maybe you have another need, whatever the case may be. God, have your way among us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. You come right now as God directs.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed. Just as just as I am,
just as I am,
just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace, my freedom bought, and now to
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.